Hello, this is Richard Alabone on webtalkradio.net. And this week I'm giving a new angle on healing. We know that healing normally involves mind-to-mind interaction between the healer and the person being healed, who has to relax into trance with the healer concentrating on the physical or mental problem requiring the healing change. But my guest has discovered that it doesn't have to be like that. Given the right instructions, a person can concentrate on his own problem in order to bring about a profound healing change. My guest, who lives in California, is Dr. Susan Allison. She has put all the instructions for self-healing into the book Empowered Healer. We had difficulties this week in arranging our conversation because of our huge time zone differences involved. Hello, Susan.
Hello. Yes. Hi, Richard. Hello. We made it.
Yes. After an awful lot of messing about, I have to say.
It's okay.
Wonderful. Anyway, I've just been making stuff about your book, Empowered Healer. And what it's all about is helping people to heal themselves.
That's right.
So after a long journey of discovery, really, doing different things. And
it's interesting, I was just reflecting on it today, that every part of the healing formula that's in part three of the book, where people do the actual healing on themselves, has come out of my own journey. And I think that's true for many of us. You know, seeking ways to transform myself, to heal myself physically, emotionally. You know, I went through various training programs, got various degrees, you know, took what I'd learned and used it with clients and to see if it would work, and with a trial and error and developing what seemed to work best kind of pragmatically over 20 years. And finally coming up with about 5 years ago, or maybe not quite that long ago, coming up with what seemed to really produce remarkable healing for people.
Yes, it started off, I believe, with a PhD in counseling psychology and then process therapy. And then you did, are now a certified clinical hypnotherapist. That was a good start.
Thank you. It was I got a master's first, and then in that program I was in, you had to do a lot of work on yourself. And I'd never even been to therapy when this was like 1989. In fact, that's when I was in England. I was in the middle of my master's program when my husband had a sabbatical at Leeds. And so I actually had a practice in downtown Leeds in a counseling office, and saw clients there that were that came to see me, and was wonderful, and also then worked at the university. So, but it started with, you know, getting my master's, and then realized I really wanted to learn about process therapy, and then, as you said, hypnotherapy. And then I became a Reiki master and also studied something called the Reconnection with Eric Pearl, which is also using energy medicine, not as hands-on as Reiki, but also helping people heal through bringing in energy from the universe.
An important part, I believe, of your experiences and training was finding out about shamanism.
Absolutely.
Shamanic trance. Now, that's something I don't know about, shamanic trance. And shamanic extraction, I see, is mentioned in your press release.
Yes. In 1993, I did my first training or direct experience with shamanic journey. And a shaman is a spiritual leader of a tribe, usually. And a man named Michael Harner was one of the, you know, I see him as really the father of bringing shamanism to lay people, bringing it to all of us so that we can do it and can understand it. He was an anthropologist, and he has a book called The Way of the Shaman, which is really excellent, and he really pioneered bringing it to common folks. And basically, in 1993, I learned how to do shamanic trance, where basically you are very relaxed. You take, you know, deep breaths, and you relax yourself, and you close your eyes, and often you use a drum or a rattle, but it's a very rhythmic sound that is almost like a mantra, and it takes you deeply into a relaxed state. And from that state, you travel to different spirit worlds. Michael Harner talked about you travel to a lower world where often there are animal guides. You can travel to what's called the upper world, where they're often angelic or kind of guru sort of human teachers that you meet in the upper world. And there's a middle world, and you can travel to the stars, and there's just all kinds of realms that you can travel to that are parallel planes of existence that a lot of people, a lot of people have done through taking drugs. Carlos Castaneda's and lots of stories about going into trance and having these visions. But this is, you know, definitely drug-free, and it's fantastic to go into these worlds and find power animals and spirit helpers. And that is a part of the formula that I developed. There are a couple parts of shamanic journey that people use to heal themselves.
And you sort of teach people to connect with their own body or their own illness or whatever their own problem is.
Yes. Now, see, the difference in shamanism traditionally, if you went to a shaman, Richard, with an issue, the shaman would journey on your behalf. They would go into the world and they would find information that would help heal you. They would bring back a way to extract it or to help you heal from your physical illness. So they were very important in the tribe, and they were doing this for their people, for the tribe. Now, the difference is, instead of journeying to another world, I have people journey to the world of their own body. So they journey down inside that world and really listen to their bodies tell them what it is that's going on. So it might help, though, if I sort of told what the stages were, the four steps kind of in order for people to understand more clearly.
Yeah.
Would that be all right?
Yes, okay, yeah.
So basically, someone comes to me with an issue, and it could be a physical or emotional issue. If they have, let's say, this is a story in my book, but someone came to me with pneumonia. They had had 5 cases of pneumonia in their life, but 4 successive ones where the doctor had seen scarring in their lungs. They would just get over one bout and they would get pneumonia again. And they were flat on their back in bed most of the time and seriously ill, having a really hard time breathing at all. So the woman came to me and with an issue, which was the physical one. And what I had her do is the first step is that you relax by taking deep breaths, at least 3 deep breaths. Then you have your eyes closed, and as you take a breath in, on the exhale, the third exhale, you imagine that you're magical and you could travel exactly to where your body is telling you it needs help. In her case, it was her lungs. So she journeyed down, you know, and I help relax people using my voice for a while, and then they, you know, go to this place, and she went to her lungs. And once there, that's step one, is that you go down inside where whatever's calling you, whatever part of your body. If your knee hurts, you would go into your knee. If you're having some heart problems, you would go into your heart. If you're having a headache, you would go into your head. So whatever's calling you, or you're having some anxiety, you would go to where you're holding that anxiety in your body, and it often is in the chest area. So anyway, so she went inside, and then step two is that she dialogued, or engaged with what she found there, which sometimes is an object, an entity. It's like the illness embodies itself in some kind of form often. So it could be just a feeling or an energy or a color or an object, and you dialogue with that, saying, you know, why are you here? What is it you have to tell me? What do I need to do to get you to leave? That's step two. Once it's told you, it often does, it sometimes doesn't, but often does, you get all the information you can about what on earth is going on and what you can do to heal. Then you extract it. And sometimes it leaves on its own. Sometimes you need to gather it up and you send it up into the universe to be rendered harmless. After that, that's step three. Step four is you know, once the entity is removed and it's clear, you bring in light and color through the top of your head, a colored light, which is energy medicine. You bring it down in and bathe the area and return it to normalcy until it feels just right. So those are, you know, that's a synopsis of what the four steps are. That's in part three of the book, which is the actual achieving of the self-healing.
And, of course, the first stage is self-hypnosis.
Maybe that's right.
Call it something different, or just relaxation or something.
Yeah, it's self-hypnosis. And that's, you know, that's sort of the term for it. Basically, self-hypnosis is deep relaxation. And it's teaching people to go into this very deep state where they're just very relaxed, and people can use it to rid themselves of stress. You know, all kinds of reasons to use self-hypnosis. People use it to quit smoking, all kinds of reasons. But in this case, it's to deeply relax yourself so that you can imagine, you know, traveling inside your body and just allowing whatever images or feelings or senses or anything you hear to come to you, depending on what senses are sort of the ones you use most.
I had some sort of vague experience of this where I went to a relaxation class many years ago, mm-hmm. and the fellow was he gave guided meditations, most of which I found very strange, but all of a sudden mm-hmm. one of them really clicked with me, and it sort of lived with me all the rest of my life, really. And
wow.
It's that same sort of very deep relaxation trance state on this healing process, or the self-healing process. It's really something pretty new, isn't it?
I think so. I think that actually, Richard, you hit on something important, which is each part that I use isn't new. People have been using hypnosis, you know, I think back to Plato or before. There's been this, you know, this healing, healing in the Greek temples and so on. But so self-hypnosis or hypnosis has probably been used before by itself. Process therapy, where you process and, you know, you engage with entities, has been going on for some time, and lots of people have done it. Shamanic journey, people are doing and have done in all kinds of cultures. And energy medicine, Reiki, you know, has been around for, you know, many years, starting in Japan. All of these have been used separately, but I have never seen them combined. And that is what's taken me 20 years, is trying them, you know, one or two of them together. Well, that worked pretty well. But it's putting the four together in this certain order it's caused profound healing for people. I mean, things like cervical cancer, clogged arteries. There's a transcript in the book where a person had supposedly a blocked artery and was going in for surgery and cleared her arteries using this process. It's a fascinating transcript in the book, and then went in for this exploratory surgery, and her arteries were completely clear. And it's to me the combination of these techniques used in a certain order that has brought about such healing.
Yeah, and it is a It's a wonderful step forward, really, and it's nice that you've been able to do it to help a great number. I think one of your first customers, if that's the right word to use, was your husband.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I can talk briefly about that. The story is in the preface of my book if you want more details. But basically what happened, I mean, I had done all this healing work, and then my own husband was diagnosed with larynx cancer, which was a huge, huge blow. It was just terrifying for both of us. And I was not going to work with him at all because I was afraid that I would do something wrong, or what if I did do the work and then he died, and my husband didn't want me to do it because he didn't want me to have that kind of burden on me. Mm-hmm. And so it took me a while to even think about doing it, but he was scheduled to go to Stanford to the tumor board. And this was on a Friday where he would go. And so Thursday night, I got a phone call from another healer who lives in another part of California. And she said, you know, I think you should try to do a healing with him. You know, if anybody can do this, you can. I really want to encourage you to try. And so I asked my husband if he wanted to do some work with me, and he said yes. It was pretty scary, the thought of going to Stanford the next morning, and so we decided to do some work, which we did. And I can't go into too much detail. You can read it in the preface, but basically we did a journey. He was doing it with me, but I was also doing it with a lot of my spirit guides. And we journeyed down his throat and saw where the cancer was. And basically, in part two of the book, you create a healing team of spirit helpers who will help you do the healing in the next part of the book. So the spirit helpers that showed up were Jesus, Lao Tzu, who is the founder of Taoism, and my grandmother, and then some of my husband's spirit guides as well. And I was also there, and I could see his throat, but I did not want to do the healing. So Jesus was in the front. And Jesus did an extraction where he saw a piece of metal actually fly out of my husband's throat or larynx into his hands where he dissolved it and so on. And he did a healing on my husband's throat. And so the next day, and this was all very powerful. My husband really felt it. Things change. The next day we went to Stanford, and five oncologists went in and scoped my husband's throat and looked at the surgeon's report where the biopsy report and the tumor, they couldn't find it. The tumor was gone. So, one of them came in one at a time, five of them in a row, and they were just so perplexed and almost upset that they weren't finding something because they were just, they were just stymied. They projected it up on a screen so, we could all see it, and there was nothing there. And so it was a miracle as far as my husband and I were concerned, but I knew that it was this method, and but I couldn't tell some of the country's leading oncologists that Jesus healed him. I didn't think they would appreciate that. So I didn't say that.
Yeah.
To them.
Yeah. I see you looking at your press release. The first sentence, are they miracles? It seems that way, but that's fair to say, is it?
Yeah, I actually had a bit of an argument with my publicist about using the word miracle cures, because to me that kind of smacks of magic wands and little snake oil and, using some kind of incantation over the person. And it isn't magic in the sense that someone else does this, that it's outside you. It really is, it's work in the sense that you do the work, which is why the book is called Empowered Healer. You are the empowered healer, not me. Because if I do it, then I take away your power. If you do it, then you're so empowered and you are going inside your own body and you are doing the healing. And so I believe I wanted to call it, total healing rather than magical cure, because a healing means you are spiritually and emotionally healing and sometimes physically, but a cure, people want this instant sort of magical kind of eradication totally of what's happening physically without even doing any work on themselves emotionally and spiritually. And so I really, I prefer the word healing. And I think the magic is that you take action and you do it yourself.
The magic is done by yourself.
And exactly.
So the use of the word miracles isn't as you say, wasn't correct, was it? No. And it doesn't necessarily always work. It depends on the individual.
That's exactly right.
I found I was talking about my own experience, and I was the world's worst meditator. It took me weeks and weeks and weeks to get anywhere. So I know that I'm the sort of person that would have great difficulty following your book. But, if you have a problem and you really work at it, I guess it can be done. Yep.
You know, I don't think you would have as much problem if you listen to my audio. I'm going to have an audio. It's not quite up on my website yet, but I'm going to have an audio on my website that people can download. And I think it would help listening to my voice. So that's why I did the audio. And it has 10 different exercises from the book that people can listen to. And it'll take them into trance, take them into relaxation, into their bodies, and into each of the four steps that I talked about. So I think, Richard, if you used the audio and just listened to my voice and followed it, that it would be much easier for you.
Yeah. Yes, I had a fellow on my show a few weeks ago who produces CDs and tapes. Mm-hmm. For all sorts of cures, you know, smoking and all the rest. So clearly that sort of thing does work, and it would be a very useful adjunct to your book, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I originally wanted a CD in the back of my book, but publishers are just not doing that anymore. It's not cost effective. And so I just did my own and did my own audio with really beautiful music. And so it'll be on my website. And I just did a video yesterday. I had a TV producer do a video with some of my former clients demonstrating these techniques. And so people who are more visual can also watch a video, and they can look at it and see people doing it and then get it in that way.
Yep, I'm sure that that would help enormously. Yep. Well, that's a most interesting one. The thing I did make a note of, I was going to ask you mentioned mystical experiences you had. I was wondering just what they were. You clearly are a natural healer who has worked very hard on studying that can bring out healing in people. But you had mystical experiences of some sort?
I did. I think it's in the very beginning of the book, in the preface, I talk briefly about this. But even as a child, I saw angels and had various experiences with them, especially in the top of my tree. I was pretty much of a tomboy and was in a tree fort that I built, and I would spend so much time in this beautiful tree. I liked it much better than being in a house. And I had all kinds of experiences where I, you know, could hear things. I'm very auditory, you know, I'm clairaudient, I think. And so I would hear voices speaking to me, and I, you know, actually saw angels, and I could hear parts of nature speaking to me, whether it was the tree and so on. And this also, I think, as a child, having that happen was why when I was an adult, shamanism was so interesting to me and felt so familiar. And then another time when I was pregnant and I was scared waking up in the night, the ceiling of my room opened and the same kind of golden kind of twinkly light poured down, and again a voice said, "Don't be afraid, you and your child are safe," because I almost miscarried my child, and I was so upset and so scared, and the voice said that I was fine and she was fine, and she's alive and well and doing marvelous things in the world right now as we speak. So it was quite an experience for me.
Of course, my program is all about the paranormal and how and why it is normal, and these experiences, and you've been able to make very great use of it in writing your book. Yeah, your website is?
It's www.empoweredhealer.com. So just like the title of my book. And people can also go to Facebook and just in the search place, just put in Empowered Healer all together. And they can go to my pages on, they're my fan pages on Facebook and just hit like and it'll open up and they can read all kinds of things about me and about my practice.
Okay, well, I have been quite fascinated and I'm sure our listeners have been. Thank you very much for spending the time.
You're very welcome, Richard. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you very much. And so we'll say goodbye.
Yes, bye-bye. Thank you.
And a big thank you to Susan Allison for being on my show today. Her book, Empowered Healer, is Susan's third book. The first was Conscious Divorce, subtitled Ending a Marriage with Integrity. Then she published Breathing Room, which is a companion book of poetry helping to deal with the emotions that arise with the ending of a relationship. These books came about because of her training and experience in transpersonal psychology, during which time she studied healing, that's physical, emotional, and spiritual healing, from which she discovered how people could be taught to heal themselves. On her website, Susan is putting an audio that will help people relax into self-hypnosis, which is the first step in self-healing, so they'll be able to make better use of the full program of self-healing given in the book. The traditional methods of healing rely to a large extent on a system of mind-to-mind transfer of power from healer to healee, which can be seen by the popularity of remote healing. But of course, this does rely entirely on some telepathic link between them, or we have to invoke the placebo effect, which cannot, of course, be quantified. But it appears more than likely that traditional healing does work, relying on mind-to-mind to focus the recuperative power to the right point. It may be that Susan's psychic abilities are part of her healing in a one-to-one situation, but she has learnt that there are various psychological techniques that she gives verbally to encourage the healing process. Having discovered that, there is no reason why these instructions cannot be written down to be used as the instructions for healing yourself. Susan has discovered a completely new way of applying healing therapy. It would seem that this new method of treatment, and that's what it is, will become accepted and popular. And it's just another way that paranormal things are shown to be normal. Listen again next week to Richard Alapone on webtalkradio.net. Bye for now.